You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following program was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Orson's Fiction, Our Fact. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
It's an evening in the fall of 1938. You and your family have gathered around the radio. The radio. Remember, these are the 1930s, and the radio is it. As you listen, you keep glancing at one another in amazement. This can't be true.
Can it?
The radio is describing an invasion. The invasion isn't Pearl Harbor. Remember, this is 1938. The radio is telling you that the United States, specifically New Jersey, has been invaded by Martians. No, that can't be true, but it sure sounds like it's true. If you're bewildered, thousands of others aren't. They're absolutely convinced that they're hearing an actual news report.
The truth soon came out.
The Martians hadn't landed in New Jersey or any place else.
It was pure fiction.
Orson Welles was a 23-year-old actor and director. He had adapted a novel called The War of the Worlds and performed it on radio. Welles was so successful that thousands of listeners believed the fiction was a fact.
Fiction or fact?
Listen to your radio now and decide if the following is fiction or fact. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea when Herod was king. After Jesus' birth, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the one who was born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star rising and have come to worship him." When King Herod and all Jerusalem heard about this, they became disturbed. He called together all the chief priests and scribes and tried to find out from them where the Messiah was supposed to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem, in Judea."
The prophet wrote this,
"Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. A leader will come from you. He will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the wise men and found out from them exactly when the star had appeared. As he sent them to Bethlehem, he said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you have found him, report to me so that I may go and worship him too." After they heard the king, they started out. The star they had seen rising led them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were overwhelmed with joy to see the star. When they entered the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. So they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Fiction or fact? You might well think that it's fictional, or at least somewhat fictional. Three wise men suddenly showing up in Jerusalem looking for the newborn Christ child? How did they get there so quickly? And the story that all Jerusalem was upset when word of a newborn king got out sounds like a bit of exaggeration. And the star, there's something supernatural that just doesn't sound factual. Oh, it's a nice story, but being media wise, we're conditioned to be skeptical. Someone once quipped that our generation is the best informed generation in the history of the world that is dying from ignorance. Fact, the Bible does not say that there were three wise men. That's just a legend that probably grew out of the fact that the wise men brought three gifts to the Christ child, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Fact, the Bible does not say that the wise men showed up the night Jesus was born. It could have been as much as a year later. Fact, Jerusalem would have been upset. As much as the citizens hated Herod, they also feared civil war. A new king of the Jews would mean bloodshed. A rumor about war spreads like wildfire. Orson Welles proved that. And about the star, Perhaps God specially created a star to guide the wise men. Perhaps it was a planet or a conjunction of planets. Perhaps it was a comet. These are natural things that God could have used. That's quite believable. The fact of the matter is that this story is for real. Orson Welles broadcast fiction. The story of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2 is fact. Now the big question, so what? That's an easy one to answer. The facts of faith, the facts of the Bible, are a real invasion into the sinful world of ours. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is God invading our world. This is a real invasion, and not from Mars, as in Orson's fiction, but from heaven to you. When you, listener, have embedded in your heart and mind the firm fact that God really is good, that conviction will enable you to navigate through all the ups and downs, the joys and the heartaches that life brings. And there's more. This invasion for you is also for the world. This invasion from heaven is directed to the heart of every man, woman, and child who yearns to know that God really is good. You can be bold to tell others about God's coming because you are reporting the facts. Do you remember Sergeant Joe Friday of Dragnet? Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Consider the facts of our lives. Sometimes the facts of our lives are criminal. Innocent people hurt or killed in drive-by shootings or terrorist bombings. Drunk drivers kill innocent people. Drugs are wasting lives. The facts are that there's plenty of injustice in this world, and sometimes it strikes close to home. The facts also are that we have never done too good a job of getting along with one another. Let there be peace on earth, goes the popular song, but you know that there's going to be hatred and strife in this new year, and sometimes it will begin with you and with me. And what about the practical facts of daily life? The facts of health and finances, of work or unemployment, of retirement and all the uncertainties of aging? The facts, just the facts, said the sergeant. There's a ton of them. The Bible explains that they are all connected to death and sin. We are alienated from so much in life because we are alienated from God. We are sinners, each and every one of us. Romans 5 verse 12 says, sin came into the world through one person, Adam, and death came through sin. Death spread to everyone because everyone sinned. Isn't it silly to think that we're going to solve this on our own? Yet that's our natural habit. If only we could better educate our citizens, we'd have fewer problems. If only we could give everyone a fairer piece of the economic pie, then we'd have less crime. If only we could get a peace treaty, then we'd have peace between nations. If only we could get some counseling, then we'd have peace in our family. If only we could advance science and medicine, then we could deal with sickness and put off death. Hey, folks! If... Don't you think that if we could do it, we would have figured it out by now? We've had thousands and thousands of years to get it right, and we're still struggling with the same problems that have been around since Adam and Eve. The fact is, we all need an invasion of goodness from God, and that's what we have in the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ is an invasion of God's goodness to meet the facts of your life. This gospel directs your journey through this life, and this is ultimately most important, can lead you to know the fullness of God's goodness in heaven. This invasion of divine goodness was planned by God for centuries, but D-Day came when the one and only Son of God, Jesus Christ, was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, as we confess in the Apostles' Creed. The Christ child who was born in Bethlehem was raised in the Galilean city of Nazareth, and these are real places that you can visit today. You want facts? Listen to what Dr. Paul Meyer says about the beginning of Jesus' ministry in his book, The First Christmas. Instead of claiming a mythological founder,
or one who materialized from the mists of the past in an appearance datable only to the nearest century or two. Christianity boldly asserts that Jesus' public ministry began in association with that of John the Baptist in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. That quotation from Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Dr. Meyer says, "No mythological heroes or cardboard characters here. This sixfold documentation involves personalities and places, all of which are well known and historical." As you may know, Jesus' ministry led to a cross outside of Jerusalem where he was executed. We confess in the Apostles' Creed that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor who pronounced the death sentence upon Jesus, was an actual historical person. In 1961, a 2-by-3-foot stone was discovered at Caesarea recording the name of Pontius Pilate. It had been the cornerstone of a building the Roman governor dedicated to the emperor Tiberius. One of the people who pushed Pilate to pronounce the death sentence upon Jesus was the high priest Joseph Caiaphas. In November 1990, a burial cave was accidentally discovered south of the old city of Jerusalem. Among the 12 ossuaries, an ossuary is a bone box, that were found was an elaborately carved one with the bones of Joseph Caiaphas inside. His name appears twice on the ossuary. Thus, the names of two major participants in Jesus' trial on Good Friday have been authenticated archaeologically. Now, what makes all of this so meaningful for me, and I hope for you also, is that Jesus died for my sins. Just reciting history isn't enough. I hope you'll believe, as I believe, that these facts were done for you and for your eternal good. God the Father orchestrated all these historical facts so that His Son could pay the price for my wrongs and for your wrongs, for my alienation from God and from others, for your alienation from God and from others. This invasion of goodness wasn't stopped with the casualty at the cross. For we Christians also confess in the Creed, the third day He rose again from the dead. Jesus rose so that you and I can live forever with Him in heaven. Now the Bible tells us the Easter story in great detail. But listen to what a secular, non-Christian historian named Tacitus wrote in the early 2nd century. Christus was executed at the hands of the procurator Pontius Pilate in the reign of Tiberius. Checked for a moment, this pernicious superstition again broke out, not only in Judea, the source of the evil, but even in Rome. And that's from a historian, not from a Christian propagandist. The Bible tells us why the so-called superstition broke out. Jesus had been raised from the dead, and 40 days after ascending into heaven, Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit of God upon the disciples, and they spread the story that God in Christ had come into this world with divine goodness. They were bold to tell the facts that not only changed world history, but the facts of a faith that has changed millions and millions of individual lives. In the first Christmas, Paul Meyer writes something you should think about, something that can make you bold to tell others about Jesus Christ. He writes, "Of all religious beliefs in the world, past or present, none have more thoroughly based themselves on history than Judaism and Christianity. The divine-human encounter in the biblical faiths always involves claims about real people living in real places who acted in real events of the past, many of which are also cited in secular ancient history. Because Judeo-Christianity has so thoroughly influenced Western culture, We're prone to imagine that all other world religions have a similarly solid historical base. This is by no means the case. It can, in fact, be argued that every religious system before or since Judaism and Christianity has avoided any significant interaction with history, and instead has asked its followers to believe, by sheer faith alone, the claimed revelations of its founders. This is true of the mythologies of yesterday and the cults of today, the religions of the East or the New Age of the West. Orson Welles' invasion from Mars was a fiction and only a blip in our history. God's invasion of goodness is the objective, factual basis of Christianity. Until next week, you can be bold to tell others that God has really come. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.